mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 37 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Thursday edition of Inside the Locker Room. Once again, 205-342-9904. If you'd like to jump in on the show with us this morning, our X account's at Locker Room 109, the personal at Barry Sanderson, at Wimp Sanderson 1. Email, you can easily do that, wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. So any question, comments, concern about the show, about what we're talking about, or if you want to have to put something up there, you can do that. If you don't want to call, we'd be happy to read that right over the air. Download that app. You can send an app message as well, the Tide 100.9 app. I hadn't figured out, Chase, how to respond to these people. I think QD was asking me, he was telling me that Alabama was favored because of the game that they played here in Tuscaloosa earlier, which I don't really know what that has to do with it, but he was going to send me something, but so just send it to Ed Barry Sanderson. All right, want to thank Yellowwood Pressure Treated Pine from Great Southern. If you want to build the 5-star backyard, Yellowwood is your only choice. Go to yellowwood.com to find a dealer closest to you. And if it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Good morning, Chase. You all right this morning? Good morning, Dad. How you guys doing this morning?
Oh, I get in there, Barry. I'm having a hard time talking enough. Not a whole lot to talk about. Coach of Michigan lost his job over a problem they had at the university. Of course, he was the one that's been involved in some other things about the scouting situation some time ago. So, to me, that's fairly big. As I told you yesterday, Tennessee let Tom Banks go, their defense coordinator, and they're looking at the Vols, Penn State Knowles guy, who was a defensive coordinator at Penn State, maybe to hire him. Outside of that, not a whole lot to talk about. Saturday we have some games in basketball that will be fairly interesting. I think Southern Miss plays Ole Miss, and Arkansas is playing, and they started to get back to playing. So we ended up 9-7, and I never did announce that SEC versus ACC. SEC was 9, and the other team was 7. So we pretty much welcome your calls about what you think. The defensive, at least the defensive end, Indiana may be out for the game, and not sure whether he's going to be able to play or not. So every injury is big, and you know they're trying to get ready, doing the very best they can to get ready for a week from Friday when Alabama and Oklahoma open up. Hard for me to believe that Oklahoma is not at least a 3-point favorite in the game because they're playing at home, and so we'll see. That's about all I've got.
All right, obviously the Michigan job opening yesterday. That's it opened after signing date. I think they've been investigating this situation for a couple of weeks. I'm going to make a prediction that the AD will not be employed here in the next day or two. I think he'll be the next on the chopping block. Sounds like he tried to save Sherrone Moore there. And so, But if you go to the odds for the next head coach for Michigan, Jed Fish, a former Michigan assistant and current Washington head coach, plus 450. The next highest odd guy, Kalen DeBoer, plus 475. And so he on Bet Online, he's the second highest odds to get this job. Now, I hear people say, well, he's not going anywhere. He's not running from anything. Michigan has more billionaires around that program. They were able to pay that quarterback. I mean, they wanted that Bryce Underwood kid. What was it, Chase? $12 million or something? They were able, yeah. So when they see a player they want, it ain't like they're going to try to find the money. They just make one phone call and they got the money. They got the largest stadium in the country. He's a Midwest guy. It's not that far-fetched. I'm not trying to start stuff that's not there. I don't know anything, and obviously nobody does. The job just opened yesterday. But everybody's already kind of picked through the litter here. Now, Michigan's going to think they got to go get a top dog, and they're probably going to cut ties with anybody tied to Harbaugh because that hadn't worked. Guys, realistically, look at it. With the money around the program, the Big Ten is big. They got a lot of money in the Big Ten. Michigan's got a lot of money. There's tradition there. Is the Michigan job, other than having to live in that cold, is it a better job than Alabama in this current format of college football?
Well, I don't think it's any better. I mean, schedule-wise, you can be careful with your schedule. I think you can get some wins in that conference. I look at the 12 teams that we have in the finals, and I don't see anybody particularly. Tulane has already lost their coach. They've already been taken care of. Will Hall, I think, got that job right now. And I don't know if he would consider Michigan over Penn State or not. How do you compare Michigan and Penn State?
Oh, I don't think it's any close, Michigan and Penn State. Okay. Michigan's such a national brand. Penn State had those Jerry Sandusky problems, and Michigan's good in everything. Their basketball team is the best basketball team in the country, and they bought that team. Dusty May's done a good job. I give your Kalen DeBoer I think you got to at least look at it. I'm not saying you go, and I don't know what looking at it even means. You got to at least let them kick the tires. And then Greg Byrne's going to have to react if they come. He has it, to my knowledge, I guess he signed that contract, 2 years ago? He's been here 2 years. So they could do him a new contract or something here. I don't think it's that far-fetched. Michigan's pretty darn good now. That Big Ten, and you don't have to battle as many teams in the SEC to get to the playoff, and you got money. They got silly money at Michigan. So I don't think it's that – the odds makers got him the second highest guy, and Jed Fish would not excite me at all. If I were a Michigan fan. So I think he's just something you keep an eye on. I heard some guy calling in the Martin show and talking about it ain't no way.
There's a group that likes the board. There's a group that doesn't. So they're split. But you're always going to be split when you hire somebody like Nick Saban that can't keep from being split. I really don't think that. They're split as bad as I thought anybody would be when they came here.
Now somebody may tell me that Alabama's a much better job. Call them and tell me.
We got another situation too, Barry, where all the athletic directors are saying they're not going to schedule Notre Dame.
Good.
Based on the things that Notre Dame athletic director said.
Yeah.
So
well, good.
I'd be interested to see.
Yeah. All right. We'll take the break here. You guys want to call, at least discuss it. Look, we can't put our head in the sand and say, right now, there's no way. Oh, there's no way. There is a way. Now, he may come out today and say, I'm not, but I personally think Michigan's a lot better job than Penn State. I understand why he didn't go to Penn State. They just fired a guy that was in the playoffs last year. But Michigan's won, and they won championships, and they've beaten Alabama, and Alabama's best running back's over at Michigan right now, to be quite honest with you. And they got that high-dollar quarterback there to just be a sophomore. So things are in place for those guys to be pretty good, I would think. I think they just had a pretty good recruiting year if they can hold on to them. Two-minute truck, they're at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. Let the professionals handle it. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. That is 2 minutes a truck. Movers, who care?
What's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Thursday morning. Community Service Programs of West Alabama will receive $306,000 of a near $4 million allocated by Governor Ivey to assist low-income residents reduce home energy bills. Each home that qualifies for the program will undergo an energy audit to determine the most effective weatherization methods. Community Service Programs of West Alabama serves 9 West Alabama counties. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. It's free through the day. Don Hartley, Town Square Media, Tuscaloosa.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Still that trouble on Lurleen Wallace in the southbound lanes at Paul Bryant Drive. We do have this accident, and it's got traffic very slow. Traffic is being diverted around the area, but even still, you have got backups that are going to take you back to about 6th Street. And then we have also got some slow rolls starting to really,
7 gets you the fancy stuff, and 9 sends you on a journey of flavor exploration. Get yours at participating stores for a limited time. Prices and participation may vary. Drinks excludes freezes. Tax extra.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside assistance.
For you, contact Courtney White at 205-242-5127, NorthRiverTimberCO@gmail.com. North River Timber Company.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and colder today, the high at 49. Mostly fair tonight, the low 34. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and warmer, the high 60. And for Saturday, we stay dry, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 34 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
A national championship team covering a national championship team. The best sports talk in the state. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Inside like a pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. I looked it up. Alabama, state of Alabama has one billionaire. One, he's an Auburn man, Jimmy Rain. Michigan in 24-25 has 11 billionaires. So you do the math. All right, get to the Yellowwood hotline. What's up, Pat?
Hey, Pat, morning. You actually talking like you know what you're talking about this morning for the first time in a while. You're right. Hey, not only billionaires, maybe close to being a trillionaire. That guy, his wife is an alumnus. He's the third richest man in the entire world, not just the state of Michigan. And hey, when you get that kind of money, getting $15 million a year for a coach ain't nothing. It's like me giving a dollar.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know. And yeah. I would really, really, really hate it because the search that we would have to make. And, hey, I don't know that if my first call would be to go down there and tear the heart out of them Cajuns.
That ain't gonna happen.
You don't know what ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, I do.
You got no clue what ain't gonna happen.
Yeah, I do.
You might think that, and there's a lot of baggage that comes with him, but hey, he's the finest play caller, and probably, from what I can say, talent evaluation.
I'm not questioning that. I ain't questioning whether he's a good play caller, whether he's a good talent evaluator. You're right about all of that. But Alabama's not going to hire Lane Kiffin.
Okay. Hey, never say never. I'm not burning bridges. And just because, hey, who else is it out there that's of the same caliber?
I don't know.
I ain't talking about character wise. I'm talking coach.
No, I don't know.
I thought he took the job.
Didn't he sign a contract at LSU?
Yeah, but I imagine his buyout ain't jack. We signed the board. The reason we having this issue here is because we didn't go both ways on the buyout.
Okay.
You know, when everything was negotiated, Jimmy Sexton got us on this one.
Okay. So you think there's people in Alabama
you realize it only costs $4 million if they was to take the boar right this minute.
Yeah. You're talking about Michigan?
And those are facts.
That's why I brought that up, Kat. That's why.
Yeah.
When you say we're finally seeing something that makes sense, I think you better listen a little closer. We tell you a lot of things that make sense. You just don't like to hear it.
Hey, I got crimson. I got crimson earmuffs.
Exactly.
You hear me?
Exactly.
The problem with you is you give the answers after they've already done something. We don't.
Yeah.
I want to know something though about something good to talk about. I got 4 tickets over to Birmingham. They'll do anything besides go over and eat at the Bright Star. Am I going to enjoy my trip with the wind?
The Bright Star, you will enjoy that. The wind part, I'm taking Jenny. I'm actually going to the game as well.
Fantastic.
You got to play really well. They're good.
Hey, so. I wished I'd have known, Barry, because I got fantastic tickets. And I had two. I had to hunt. I had to have buddies coming out of Tennessee and coming out of West Georgia over to this ball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have sure enough fixed you up.
I appreciate it. I'm good.
Anyway, you guys have a very blessed Coach Samson. Merry Christmas. Yeah. I'm gonna talk to you before then, though. Okay. We're gonna have to talk up this Oklahoma game.
Yeah.
A little bit.
You gotta get the fans more excited.
Ball game, Arizona. We need butts in the seat. You realize this is a late tip.
You'll have butts in the seats. There'll be butts in the seats up there. It'll be a good environment. Won't be the problem. So you'll have good crowd.
I just hope that we can shoot threes in that arena, because we're gonna have to rain threes in order to beat this team.
That's right. Thank you, Pat.
All right. Have a blessed one, guys. Bye bye.
Pat's got the Alabama class. There ain't nothing wrong with wearing Alabama glasses. I appreciate homers. Homers don't like our show as much because we don't go the homer route. We try to tell you. I mean, I told you I thought Georgia was going to beat Alabama. I just felt that, and I'm worried sick for Alabama in this Oklahoma game. I am. So shoot me. What's up, Phillip?
Hey, how y'all doing this morning?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I'm good. Coach Samson, you sound a little bit better today, I think.
Does he?
Yeah, I'm a little bit. Not a lot, but a little bit. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. Better, you got tickets to the game?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I did a little research for y'all, and they play about 8 guys. They're a forward guard centric team. They do have a center that averages about 8 or 9 points a game. Not a tremendous scorer, but they're just a good team, and Alabama's going to have to play lights out. I'll tell you one thing. Aiden Holloway's got that bum wrist, but the way Bethea is playing right now, Aiden might want to get that wrist healed up.
Yeah, Well, but they have played good against, and they play a good player. But a lot of difference between Texas, in Arizona. No, yeah, so.
This Michigan situation, they play Texas on the 31st. Do you think they will have their issue resolved before then, or they'll put it in high speed step up mode after that bowl game?
Well, I think that Bibb, whatever, he'll coach the bowl game. So I think they're fine there. They got their coaches in place there to do that. But I think they got to move fast. Now, how fast? If Kalen DeBoer's the guy, he's not going to be fooling with that job till this Oklahoma game's over, if he's the guy that's going to actually look at it. So it depends on – I don't know where they go. I mean, the guy at Washington, I don't think his record's not – I mean, I don't know. I think the Michigan fans don't think they got to get better than him. But I don't know who's left out there that's going to satisfy, you know, that. So I just worry about – the Midwest guy, they got so much. If they want a player, Pat, they just, I mean, not Pat, Phillip, they just buy one. I mean, money ain't no right. issue. Nothing.
No. Well, let me ask you two guys this. On a growing legs graph or chart, where does this DeBoer Michigan thing rank in the its growing legs chart? Is it about a six?
Well, according to betting odds, he's the second biggest favorite to take the job.
Mm-hmm.
I would think that alone gives it a little bit of legs, because these people in Vegas don't give away money.
Mm-hmm.
But
how do you feel?
I don't know. I don't. Do y'all think he's extremely happy here? I'm not saying he's not. I think he seems like a happy guy. I don't know anything about his wife. You don't hear anything about her.
I don't think he's interested at all.
Okay.
I had that conversation with a friend last night. We just don't know a lot about Kalen DeBoer.
His wife stays private, which is perfectly fine. And so you knew Miss Terry loved it, and she was all involved. But her, you just don't know. You've never seen her. She's never interviewed. His girls are, I guess, one of them's grown and gone. I guess they got one. They have one here in school, I think.
I guess. I'm not sure. I think they do have two girls.
Yeah. So he seems happy. He seems like he's happy. I think he enjoys working for Greg Byrne. I think he enjoys
He said he was in the press conference.
Yeah. Well, you would say he wasn't, but I think they got.
Yeah, say he was.
True.
Now, let me ask you this before I go. How does Greg Byrne approach this new situation?
Yeah.
Oh, I think he looks at his buyout and maybe has somebody around him find out of his interest without talking to him personally, or he may call him in and say something to him about it affecting Alabama's recruiting if he went, that he needs to shut that out. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much he goes by. I'm sure he has somebody talk to him, or he probably does it himself a little bit. I don't think he's quite as strong as Barry does.
No, I don't know that he's strong. I don't know. I just know Michigan can get your attention, one. And two, is the administration here, which I think they are, extremely happy with him? So is it time to redo his contract? Would you redo his contract? And say Michigan didn't even come up. Would you redo his contract?
Now the new president from Alabama's from Ohio State. Both of you, I guess, know that.
Yeah.
He's in some same league, so we'll see.
But I'm saying, is the Alabama fan happy, the big money donors happy, to where they say, let's don't lose this guy, Greg. Let's you know, sweeten this contract a little bit. Or you just leave, coach the one you got, and you're doing good, and we'll look at it again next year. Where would you handle that?
I would put a great deal of credence on how Alabama did against Oklahoma. And then go from there.
So the Michigan job, the Oklahoma game is more important to you than the Michigan job as far as his contract. In negotiation.
I think what he does in the Oklahoma job has a big impact on what Alabama's stance is regarding his future his money future at Alabama. Does that make sense?
If he left, you got to also look at, like, who would you go get? Like, I had no idea who they'd go get.
The only name I thought of last night, and you know, people in radio land will laugh at me maybe, but the only name I really thought of last night was D'Amico Ryans.
Would he leave the NFL to come to Alabama? I don't know.
I think
we'll see,
man. It's
going to
be interesting.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't. I hope he doesn't leave. I like Kayla DeBoer. So thank you, Philip. All right, let's get to break here. We'll get to JC. We'll get his thoughts about it. JC's up in Chicago. He'll know. He's a Midwest guy. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Still that trouble on Lurleen Wallace in the southbound lanes at Paul Bryant Drive. We do have this accident, and it's got traffic very slow. Traffic is being diverted around the area, but even still, you have got backups that are going to take you back to about 6th Street. And then we have also got some slow rolls starting to really,
36829. That's 800-923-6829. What do you have to lose? Call 800-923-6829. Again, 800-923-6829.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. Pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Right to the Yellowwood Hotline. He's the owner of thebigspur.com. Does several podcasts. He tells you about those. He always has good guests on this. We need to steal some of his guests on his podcast. Been with us for a long, long time. JC Sherbert. Good morning, JC. How are you, my man?
Hey, JC. Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, fellas. Great to be with you today.
Did the 12-team playoff, with all the controversy we had over Notre Dame, the arguments that we're having, don't you think that actually the committee did a good job?
I think the complaint about Notre Dame, there's two things. First, the whole process of it, and then at the end they flip it, and then the ACC wouldn't have had a representative, and so you've got them lobbying, and on the surface it looks bad. But when you compare those two teams, you know, the thing that screwed up with was that probably had Miami too low of, you know, Miami didn't really do anything of significance to move up. You know what I'm saying? If they did anything wrong, it's they had Notre Dame too high, Miami too low to begin with. But when you compare them, I mean, you know, there were some common opponents in there that, you know, Miami beat Pitt worse than Notre Dame did. They both blew them out. They both blew out Syracuse, but Notre Dame's obviously was like a 70-7 game. You know, eyeball test-wise, I think Notre Dame's a better football team than Miami. I think if they played now, they'd beat them by a touchdown. But you can't really go on that if you're going to say head-to-head matters. I think the problem with the bracket and the problem now is I've come to the conclusion 12 is a horrible number. You know, and the rules they have with these auto bids and, you know, it's kind of backfired on them because this is the second straight year we've had multiple teams that, you know, last year you had Indiana and half their roster was from Group of Five, and now from James Madison. Now James Madison's actually in it. We had Boise State getting a bye. That was ridiculous. We had SMU in their first year in Power Four getting in. And then this year you got two Group of Fives. It was designed that way to kind of give the Group of Fives a carrot, but they need to go back and relook it. I'd like to go to 16, no buys,
conference champions get the Power Four conference champions get home field advantage, one group of five spot, and let's just roll from there. And high school football and everywhere else, if they do 16 and NCAA tournament basketball, I know they have play-ins now, but it's 16 team brackets. 16's a nice number, you know. Let's just do that. That way everybody gets a home game. You know, Georgia fans are almost disappointed that they won because they had to, that now they don't get a home game in Athens in a couple of weeks. So I think it needs to go. That some common sense needs to be used with all this, but I'm probably just, I may as well just throw a hot dog into a wind tunnel and scream because it's not, you know, you never know. You know, I've seen some 16 team brackets with an extra play in, and I'm like, why? You know, stupid. Why are we doing that? So we'll see what happens, but I think 12 is a bad number.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think they should do 14. And here's what and then I would do this weekend, I would have Notre Dame playing James Madison and Vanderbilt and Tulane. Then they play their way into the 12 team bracket. If it wasn't two, where this year it was, you know, Tulane and James Madison got, you still keep the group of five, then the non power, whatever, four in there. And this year is two. If it wouldn't have worked out that way, you could have had two big brands playing each other, but you play that way every weekend there's football. There'd been football this weekend. Everybody's going to be wanting to watch football this weekend. If you had Vandy and Tulane and Diego Pavia was playing and Notre Dame and JMU, they're playing to get into this 12-team bracket, and then boom, next week they have the brackets there. Those teams would travel to one of these teams. I think it would be perfect there. And then football doesn't stop in that situation, JC.
I'm with you, Barry. I love the more football. I'd love to have games this weekend, but here's my question. What happens when Army or Navy win the American and they're the highest-ranked group of five teams?
Yeah.
You can't move that. I mean, downright unpatriotic to move that. So you'd have to figure something out.
They're just going to have to play a week earlier. They're going to have to play a week earlier.
We say that though, and it's like, you know, because when it came out, it's like, oh, well, technically two group of five teams could get in. It'll never happen. And then lo and behold, in year two, here we are.
Yeah.
We say that, and the next thing you know, Navy will have one of those great Navy teams, and, you know, then there'll be this controversy again. But yeah, I'm with you, man. I don't know. They got to work on a lot of things. The calendar is a big issue right now. Coaches hate it. They got to figure something out and balance all this. They need to get smart people that know football in a room and decide and stop letting the academic bureaucrats and the politicians that run athletics departments make these decisions, because they're those people are balancing a lot of different things. And I think you got to get the football part of it right in order to keep having a product that can generate the millions of dollars that, despite the chaos, they continue to generate.
Yeah, I like the buys. You pay your way, you earn your way for the buys. We'll see if they pay off. I think last year they didn't because the seeding was done so poorly. I think you'll see.
I'm curious to see what the buy record is this year, because it's a 30-day layoff.
Yeah,
and the other teams have 11, and it's still significant, but they were 0-4 last year. I could see a world where the record's not good this year, but I want to see what happens this season before, you know, I make any kind of declarative statement on the buys.
Obviously, big job opened yesterday. In the current landscape of college football, where NIL is so big and revenue share and all that, is Michigan a better job than Alabama, JC?
I don't think so, but it's up there. I mean, they're sort of similar because, you know, if you look at the number, you know, I always base everything on recruiting footprint as far as the job goes, plus tradition, history, money, all that. Michigan's probably got more money than Alabama. I'm not going to lie to you there. They've got thousands of alums. It's a bigger school student-wise. I mean, most of the Big Ten schools are. But you're, you know, same amount of players that come out of Michigan, same, you know, Alabama's got a little more. as far as top talent goes. But, you know, you're in the Big Ten where you're one of the big dogs versus the SEC where there's 9-10 big dogs every year. You know, I don't know that it's a better job, but if you look at who's left Alabama with the exception of Bill Curry, who just got out to get out, you know, he kind of pulled a Tubby Smith. Remember Tubby Smith went from Kentucky to Minnesota? He kind of pulled a Tubby Smith back in the day, Coach Curry did. But, you know, Franz left for it was Texas A&M. You know, that had to be a big one. So if you're going to leave Alabama, you know, it needs to be for a job like Michigan. Because I know what you're getting at. All the betting odds have Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah.
The odds on favorite.
I mean, he'd have to look at it, right? I mean, let just people look at it. Unless he's – I'm not saying he's not happy. Kalen DeBoer reminds me a lot of Dave Odom in a way that he's such a nice guy. Everybody, he's not a jerk. Like, Brian Kelly's a jerk. So when you start losing, they're ready to get rid of you. And I'm not saying Kalen DeBoer's losing, but he's such a nice guy that everybody kind of like. He'd have to really do something to make people turn around. Now, there are people here that are unrealistic. They're mad at Ryan Grubb now. But the people here genuinely like him because he's such a nice guy. But I don't have any idea if his wife likes it here. Like, you don't really hear anything about her, which is perfectly fine. Is that a job you think he and his people will look at or just say no? Or should Greg Byrne give him a new contract here to keep him here, tell him what should happen here, JC?
I don't know. You know, he's also kind of hard to read.
Yeah.
You know, like you kind of knew Bill Curry was unhappy when he left back in the day. He's made comments. You can kind of tell. There were some signs at the beginning of Nick Saban's last year. Now, you know, he kind of looked older at the beginning of 2023. And then he proceeded, as they started to win, look younger. It was kind of weird how that works, right?
Yeah.
You know, there's some, DeBoer is just hard to read. You know, he is a nice guy, but he's just kind of not very emotional and very stoic. And so it's just, you don't know what's going on behind the scenes and you hear things. You know, I've heard for a long time, if Southern Cal opens, blah, 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 if this opens, if that opens, you have to, you know, Michigan and Alabama both have standards, right? Michigan, they're not going to put up with. They fired guys for going 9-4, 10-3, just like Alabama has. But, you know, there is a special type of pressure at Alabama because you are following Nick Saban. You're the guy that followed the guy. Those guys, you know, very, very few times have they worked out. And so, you just have to kind of think, you know, are you happy there? Would you rather coach in the Big Ten? You know, he's from the upper sort of between the North. He's from the Great Plains. I mean, he's from South Dakota. So is Michigan more the where he wants to be with his family? I mean, it's not closer to home. It's a long way to South Dakota from Ann Arbor. But, those are just all things you have to weigh. I mean, the jobs are comparable. Both have won national championships. Both have a lot of tradition. Both are among the best jobs in the country. So, you know, what do you want in your life? I think he's in a good spot, you know, to have lost 7 games in 2 years, which is crazy at Alabama, considering, how long did it take Nick Saban to lose 7 games? Not 2 years. There's a guy that probably part of the Alabama fan base is ready to run off, but also he's kind of got some choices. Right. You know, he's got some choices. He's a wanted guy. Not every coach gets that. You know, if you go bad one place, you don't always – you maybe got to go down a level. Well, you know, James Franklin, Virginia Tech's a level below Penn State. But, you know, DeBoer, it's like, you know, we're talking about Michigan. We're talking about a Southern Cal ever get or got rid of Lincoln Riley, that kind of thing. So he's a great coach and certainly has options. My gut feeling is – he'll stay. This is all just speculation, and he'll stay at Alabama. But I do think probably will Michigan come after him and make him say no? I think that's likely.
Yeah. Nobody can answer this. Why is Alabama, who's not looked very good here lately, JC, they did gain a lot of yards on Oklahoma, but they had three turnovers. Why is Alabama favored when this game's in Norman and Alabama's not playing well? What does Vegas see that I don't?
Well, you know, Alabama has not played well. I mean, eye test-wise, they're one that you go, you know, they're the ninth seed, and they got in the playoff because their resume is better than everybody else as far as quality wins. But they have not looked very good. But Oklahoma's offense has looked worse. they've started to really struggle to score. And I think in football sometimes, in college, it's hard to beat a team twice. We saw that in 2017. You know, Auburn destroys Georgia. And then they go to the Dome, or Mercedes-Benz, and two-loss Auburn's about to get in the playoff. And the running back gets hurt, and they got whipped. It's just – I remember back – I mean, it's just different when you play a team twice. And so I think that's probably it. I also think that, you know, Brent Venables' defense, if you can time up your passing game, which Alabama struggled to do, and if they're healthy, that could matter as well, because there's a lot of injuries against Georgia. You know, you could exploit them downfield. At the same time, after watching what Georgia's defense did to them, with Georgia kind of did something out of the ordinary. They just sent the house almost the whole day, and it worked. And that's what Oklahoma's going to do. So maybe that's the thought. I don't know that the odds makers, I guess, crunch that. Maybe they're just crunching numbers and going on how bad Oklahoma's offense has looked and thinking the Tide will have a better day on D. But, we'll see. It is interesting that it's out there. Another thing to think about, Alabama's due against Oklahoma, though. Since 2000, the only time they've beaten them is in that Orange Bowl when Lincoln Riley was there. Oklahoma wasn't going to stop that offense that night. But other than that, they won the Sugar Bowl under Stoops. They swept two games in the early 2000s. But, I know they won in Tuscaloosa. And then, they won this year and they won last year. So maybe Alabama's due against them, against this particular team.
Yeah, that.
I go ahead, Barry. I can't talk very well.
What about Auburn's hire, JC? What do you know about him? He's done a good job in the press conferences. He's had two of them. Seems pretty professional. He's a football guy. That's all he cares about, which I think is important to the Auburn people. What are your thoughts on Golish?
My opinion on the Florida and Auburn hires is that they probably should have been switched. But I don't know that Auburn didn't maybe get a breath of fresh air. Florida people, you hire another defensive minded coach in summer all. I mean, hey, I don't know. I just don't know. That's a weird deal down there. Their AD wants to put a GM in charge from the NFL in charge of everything. Summer all to me was a better fit at Auburn, and Golish would have been a better fit at Florida. Now, that doesn't mean Golish isn't a good fit at Auburn. I think, his offensive system, which is from Josh Heupel and the Briles, Art Briles offense back in the day, that's a good offense. I think they can put points on the board. I love the way South Florida played defense this year. It's hard to do when you have an offensive-minded head coach system and all that, DJ Durkenstein. Golish is kind of his own man too. He did coach for Heupel, but he's got some other things in his background that are good. And he's kind of his own guy. And I think that fits Auburn. You got your own guy. He can be an Auburn man and stay there for a while and win games. And, you just don't have to, you don't have to watch bad offense anymore. And if, I think Deuce Knight's still there. You look at the potential that he has at quarterback in this system, and at least you got to think, if you're Auburn, hey, at least we've figured out how to score points moving forward, and if they can keep a lot of that roster intact and get some portal pieces, I think they can. I'm not going to sit there and predict great things for Auburn anymore, because I've done it the last 3 years and freezes there, but I think Auburn fans will be happy just getting back and not having a losing season and winning some games, getting back to a bowl, whatever. I think that's certainly achievable in his first year. I like him. I've always liked Alex Golish since he got down there. I mean, South Florida had gone like 4-28 before he got there, and he immediately turned it around. So high energy young guy, great hire. If I were the Gators, though, and I know what they did. They turned their nose up. Oh, it's the South Florida coach in state, you know. I wouldn't have done that. I'd have gone and gotten him and let Auburn get Summerall. But I think either way, Auburn would have been fine. But that Florida hire, man, I just got a lot of questions about that.
Lastly, and I don't know where Ty Simpson is in the NFL draft. Maybe it's to be determined. If you're Alabama's Kalen DeBoer, the offensive coach is there, and you think Keelan Russell or Matt are maybe the future, but now Ty wants to come back, but you think maybe with those guys, one of those guys is really going to be better than him, and you don't want to lose them, how do you keep them all? What do you tell them? Or do you encourage Ty to move on because you don't want to lose Keelan Russell? How do you handle that, JC?
Well, I think this. What you got to ask yourself is, who's going to win us more games in 2026? You know, in college football now, there is no tomorrow. If Keelan Russell is going to be better than Ty Simpson, but maybe not next year, maybe he's another year to develop, then, you know, you could throw him to the Wolves. He could get hurt. He could not perform well. He'd be bad on offense, and you could go 7-5 and get fired. I mean, you know, so that's the question. And I'm not saying it is. I've always I think the world of Keelan Russell and the other guy. So I think that's the decision you have to make once Ty makes his decision. Now, I do think Ty could be drafted pretty high, and you know, I think if he has a good playoff, let's say Alabama beats Oklahoma, beats Indiana, and gets the semis, and he's dialing them up. I mean, he's done NFL-type things this year that look really good. So my guess is they're probably pretty high on him. If he has a good, you know, near future, that the decision will be pretty easy. But as far as encouraging them to move on, anything like that, you know, you have to have a gun. I think to encourage a star quarterback to move on, you have to have a Gunnar Stockton like Georgia did ready to go. You just got to – that's a question I can't answer. That has to be the coaching staff. But Grubb and DeBoer, and are these guys ready to go, and will we be fine losing them? That's a question you got to answer. And so I think that's to be determined.
I think these are tough decisions that I don't think the average fan understands, you know. Yeah. So
– Yeah. I mean, you know,
and you almost have to guarantee – if you're like Keelan Russell, or whatever, you almost have to say you're going to start. Like, otherwise, I don't know how you keep them if Ty comes back. Both of them, maybe they can get. I mean, I guess you're going. That's why we have so much parity, right? Because guys like that go somewhere else, and then they're a good quarterback somewhere else, and everybody has somebody pretty good, except for maybe Auburn did. But and Kendall Briles, is he getting a multi-year deal there at South Carolina? I mean, you know, you look at these jobs, if you go to, you know, you got to know he's on thin ice a little bit, so you got to protect yourself. Is he getting a 2 or 3 year deal there,
yeah,
JC?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that goes for all the new hires they make. I don't think he'd be taking the job for a 1 year deal. But I do, if you think about Kendall Briles and Lenora Sellers and the players South Carolina has, that makes a lot more sense to me than what they were trying to do. It's a 180 on offense, and South Carolina needs to get its offense out of the ditch. It's been in the ditch, it seems, since Spurrier left, and just like Auburn, you know, it's a new day down there with Wayne, and Golish and Briles are very similar. So, you know, what does that mean? Well, it saves Shane Beamer's job. I mean, well, comes down to winning. You know, you don't just win with good offensive plan. You got to go execute stuff like that. But absolutely. And Carolina's athletic director, Jeremiah Donati, amazingly enough, Barry, they hired a guy from TCU again, just like they did with Eric Hyman.
Yeah.
He was at TCU and knew Kendall from there and helped kind of facilitate that, move that along. So I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'd be shocked if he didn't have a multi-year deal worth, approaching $2 million a year to go do that. But desperate times call for desperate measures, and South Carolina fans are just sick of watching bad offense. And Kendall Briles has turned it around just about everywhere he's been. So I think that's the guy I thought South Carolina should go after since 2016. So I'm pretty happy about that.
Sounds like it. You're usually not very happy about that. He's finally happy about an offensive coordinator at South Carolina. Yeah. Write that down. That don't happen very often. So.
It's been a while.
So. All right, JC, tell everybody where they can find you.
All right, got a new JC Morgan podcast. We talk about the Notre Dame thing, talk about the first round matchups, the seating and all that. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple. Go hit subscribe, rate us 5 stars. Also download the Chief Sports app to listen to us. And right here on Tide 100, every Thursday, you can get me.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, fellas.
All right, we'll get to break here. Open up the phone lines. Jack Crow, join us at 8:15. Want to thank Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. They make this 7 o'clock hour possible if it doesn't have the yellow tag on it. You don't want it.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app. From the Fox Sports Studios in Los Angeles, here's Martin Weiss.
Fired head coach Sharon Moore was in custody at the Washtenaw County Jail Wednesday night as a suspect in alleged assault, just hours after the university announced he was being fired for what was, quote, an inappropriate relationship with a staff member. The Oklahoma City Thunder advanced to the NBA Cup semifinals for the second consecutive year, beating the Suns 138-89. This win tying Golden State, the 73-win Warriors, with a 24-1 start. SGA had 28 points and 8 assists. Chet Holmgren, 24-8 rebounds, 4-for-4 from 3. Broncos practice squad quarterback Sam Ellinger reportedly turned down the Indianapolis Colts when they called and asked if he'd like to join their active roster. The team had hoped to sign him and Phillip Rivers, who did sign his practice squad deal today. Riley Leonard was a full participant in practice for Indianapolis, and the team activated quarterback Brett Rippon from their practice squad. I'm Martin Weiss.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. An early morning accident continues on Lurleen Wallace in the southbound lanes at Paul Bryant Drive. Now, that's got traffic very, very tight. The backup to that, or the backup for that, is going to be to 8th Street on Lurleen Wallace. And of course,
$20 more. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Auto Parts.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room, Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to TuscaloosaToyota.com. You can do inventory, the pre-owned inventory, schedule service. You want to rent a Toyota, do it all right there at the website. Great deals right here before Christmas. So swing by Skyline Boulevard, sign Justin, and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, get to the Tuscaloosa Toyota hotline. Get Tom in. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom. Morning, Barry. Morning, Coach. How are y'all this morning?
We're good. I'm good. I think Dad's voice is struggling.
Yeah, but I would suggest apple cider vinegar and honey a couple of times during the day.
Yeah, I'm
and,
doing that.
That'll bring you back around here eventually. You know, everybody's talking about Kalen DeBoer and being hard to figure out. It's hard for me to figure out, too. I'm like everybody else. But, Coach, the closest I can come to in my first part of my evaluation is him. He reminds me a lot of those guys from, you know, Wisconsin and all through that area of the country, all the way over to the Badlands and all that kind of stuff. And they have they got Scandinavian ancestry. And they don't get all bent out of shape and overexcited and a lot of drama queen to them at all. And I'll point this out, and I think you'll agree. Steve Stricker.
Yeah. Yeah, he's pretty consistent and pretty easy to deal with. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and the ancestry to them, I think, contributes to that, to the behavior, the personality that they have. I thought I'd bring that up to you. I knew you'd understand it. Where nobody else would, but you and I can evaluate things like that.
Yeah, Stricker's on the right page, no doubt about it. He's a terrific player. He's played all of his life. His family plays. His wife's a good player, and
right.
You know, he's taken the losses as well as the wins. But he's a great wedge player. He gets that cotton picking thing close on the second shot. He's very good.
Yeah, he turned Tiger's putting game around for him. Oh, it's been about 15 years ago. Tiger started to struggle with his putter, and who'd he go to? Oh, even killed Steven Stricker. And Stricker was able to help him. And here, to my point about the demeanor and the personality and the makeup of these people. When the press people ask him about it, you know, he downplayed. He'd go, oh, no, we all do that for each other all the time. You know, wouldn't take any credit and just a good guy. But, you know, I heard your conversation with McElroy yesterday.
No, did you? Okay, good. I wanted Barry to hear it, but I didn't know how to do it.
Yeah, well, I always listen to a little bit of their show after the show. You know, they have replays, and you can choose which part of the show. You don't have to listen to the whole show. And, of course, I always click over and see what you and him are talking about. I find it to be interesting. But, you know, Coach, a friend of mine that lives over here in Iceland is a surgeon. And there's a point to this, I promise you. But all the years that I've known him being in practice as a doctor, he always thought he could cure anything with a freaking knife. You know what I mean? And then come to find out, all surgeons are like that. They think, you know, that everybody else, get out of the way, I'll cure this with a knife. And then, and I was listening to McElroy yesterday, and I thought about that when he said, you know, when he started telling you, well, a quarterback is the most important person on the team. You cannot deal and boo with his psyche. This, that, and other about the quarterback. You can't pull a quarterback, this, that, and other. His take was the opposite of Barry. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, to some degree I do, yeah. I can't remember everything he said, but, it is. He's high on this Alabama team. He's high on the players, and he thinks he'll beat Oklahoma. I'll tell you that. Go ahead.
And he thinks the problem with Alabama, we ain't got 75 first-round draft picks like we did when Coach Saban was here. You know, that was one of his statements right there. And so forth and so on. But I disagree with Greg on that. I agree with Barry. If you can't pull somebody out and bring them over there in the heat of the battle, so you can just have a conversation with him about I don't think you're seeing these other receivers. I don't think you're seeing what this safety's doing. If you can't do that, then it's pretty darn bad, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying bench the guy. Like, there, I think Nick Kelly or somebody did an article today about should Alabama go to the backup quarterback. I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying try the guy when the guy's struggling. Right. And if he plays really well, stay with him. If he does okay, then go back to the guy. But I don't know. You're right. We treat these quarterbacks with kid gloves. And Steve Spurrier didn't treat a quarterback like that. You better perform. He yank your butt out in a second.
Yeah, and I agree with you on that. But I was just listening to Greg. He's interesting to listen to, and he thinks things out really good. But I disagree with him on this subject. But and I agree with what you were saying. But he's just got it wrong. And here's another thing. He brought up the thing about Tua and Jalen Hurts and the championship game against Georgia. And he said, well, the reason that Coach Saban did that, he'd gone as far as he could go with Jalen. Jalen was not going to win that ball game for Alabama over there. It was the last game. It was a championship game. And that's why he pulled him. He said if it had been the middle of the season, he wouldn't have pulled him.
Yeah. Well, the playoffs on the line, you're playing so poorly. Did you ever think they were going to beat Georgia during that game?
I never thought they were going to beat Georgia back in the middle of the season.
Is Kalen DeBoer happy here, Tom?
Well, there we go. See, we're back to can we figure out how he is and what he's thinking and what his wife's thinking and all like that. She's on Ozempic, by the way. And So I don't know. You know, he's hard to read. And I think he does that on purpose.
Yeah. So I like him, though. I hope he stays. Thank you, Tom.
Oh, I do, too. I think he's a good guy.
Yeah,
thank y'all.
Steve. Thank you. All right, we'll get to break here. We'll get to Coach Jack Crow. You listen to Tide, 100.9, 1230 AM WTVC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. This accident's been here for a couple of hours now on Lurline Wallace southbound in between Stillman Boulevard and Paul Bryant Drive. Now, it is creating quite the ruckus as traffic is stacked back to 7th Street.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's daily update on Bama Sports, and it's brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Streaming live on Thursday at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Thursday's edition of Crimson Drive, we'll be joined by our radio sideline reporter for Alabama football, Corey Reamer.
Trying to figure out how we can get both sides of the football to play their best at the same time. We've had offense really carry the team during parts of the season, defense carry it through the other parts. How do we put it all together? You never know what is going to happen right now. You can find a rhythm, get everybody on the same page, and you go out there and you take care of business next Friday. What that does from a confidence standpoint, you know, leading into the next game, you know, it's just, these are little building blocks. And I think it's, you know, imperative for us to get off to a good start in each of these games. We've had some games where we've been a little bit slow coming out of the gate. And if we can have some early success, this team can really build off of that momentum.
I'll have more in a moment. Hey, Bama fans, each Tuesday and Thursday at 2 p.m. Central, join us live for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. This live streaming talk show features the latest on Alabama athletics with exclusive conversations with Tide student athletes, coaches, and media members giving their perspective on the Crimson Tide. You can watch on YouTube, Facebook, and X, with all conversations archived as well on the Alabama Insider Podcast. Roll Tide with Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Join us this afternoon for Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, streaming live at 2 p.m. Central on all CTSN social media platforms at UA_CTSN. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and colder today, the high at 49. Mostly fair tonight, the low 34. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and warmer, the high 60. And for Saturday, we stay dry. A mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 35 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Two-time state champion and two-time NIT champion, Barry Sanderson breaks down the latest in sports on Inside the Locker Room on Tide 100.9.
Inside the locker room, we get right into the Yellowwood Hotline. The former head coach, Arkansas, Jacksonville State offensive coordinator, Auburn, Clemson, Arkansas, among many others, joins us a lot during football season. Everybody loves this segment with Coach Jack Crow. I don't know if they love it because of us or Coach Crow. I think it's Coach Crow.
I'm going to tell you what, guys. You know, we're talking about what they love, which is Alabama football, so that's the reality of it. I guess you get some Auburn people on here, don't you?
Yeah.
Or do you?
Yeah, we do. We do.
All right. Jack, trying to work Jack, both of them.
Yeah.
Yep.
We've got, you've got a 10-day period, or whatever it is, 12-day period. I'll say that first. And two teams in Oklahoma and Alabama are playing each other, and neither team is very good offensively. Alabama struggled with the running game. Their best player was hurt. So I want to know what they do. They try to add some big players to that. And Oklahoma has not been good either. Do you add – I think this is a great question. Do you add things? You try to improve on what you're doing now. Do you add things over that 10-day period? What do you do offensively if you're the offensive coordinator trying to straighten that out?
Well, you look at personnel available, and you know, if you're missing some people, you can't do anything about it. I mean, if they're not going to be that, the tight end and running back aren't going to be there. It's a completely different.
Listen to that. Go ahead.
It is. You're right. It is different. Now you say, okay, what production are we losing here that we can, you know, we can use other players to make those plays, because it's just a matter of players making plays. And if that requires new thinking, I sort of suspect some of that's coming. And you, by asking the question, Wimp, sort of see it, okay, these are the guys we're with. It's, you know, it's not about a season. It's about a game. For a game, you know, we put this guy in a, you know, we play with four wide receivers and put a guy in the backfield we know that can handle the protection. And, you know, I think it's a little late to say you're going to find your running game. I can tell you that.
Yeah.
But yeah. I do think that getting well, we really don't know, you know, how much there is, but they should know by today. You know, they probably had a good idea Sunday, you know, what kind of adjustments they had, because it's a one-game plan now, and things change. I mean, these one-game seasons used to be our bowl games, and you approach it differently because you are who you are, and you deal with who you are, and if that means doing something different, you're either better or different. Okay, if you can't have your best players and be the best version of yourself, you clearly start looking at what's the advantage of being different. And there. Yeah, and there is an advantage here to bringing something different to the game.
What is the problem with Alabama's running game? Is it, A, they don't have NFL backs like they've always had? B, is it the offensive line? And you're going to say all three. Is it C, that they're a throwing team, and you can't, if you're a throwing team, then you're always working on pass blocking. You're not working on moving guys downfield, so you're never going to be a good running team. Where does that lie, Coach?
You said all three, and you're right. But I do think that you're – I thought BYU back in the day when you saw the first versions are really pass dominant programs. I used to be surprised, for example, I spent a lot of time with the Denver Broncos. They may have thrown the ball a lot, but they really took the approach that they didn't have to spend all that time on pass protection because they made a commitment to run the ball. And as you, if you looked at the way the offensive line worked, it wasn't always about blitz pickup, about because that can go on forever. Blitz pickup can, and it's not about, you know, your 5 and 6 man protection. I mean, you really say, well, we're going to run the ball, and you just, they're not going to do that because we'll run the ball. And I think that's not the approach, you know. I guess particularly where they think their players, you know, their skill is. And that goes back to, do they really believe they could, you know, they could get, if they had to, could get 225 yards rushing out of their running backs? I mean, if they don't believe that, then they'd be sort of, which, you know, I'm here to ask. I mean, you look at the running backs in the NFL right now, the ones that, you know, sort of carry that, you know, they're out there. These are decisions that were made back in recruiting, you know, and how did they sell who they were to a running back? If he wasn't told he was going to get the ball 20 times a game, I know in my world, in my day, I mean, you had to talk about how many times a guy was going to get the ball. I mean, they're not going in there to be a pass protector. And so it starts with what your approach is, just selecting personnel, so that you've got those personnel. And I don't, you know, I don't, you know, we're looking at a program that's been in existence less than 2 years, this particular version of the program. And, you know, have they had enough time to put all that together? I mean, I would say not, despite people saying, you know, in 1 year you can go to the portal and get whoever you want. If they had targeted the best running back coming out last year in the portal, if they had done that and committed financially and every other way to doing that, they would have got one. I mean, they got what they went and got, you know. That's what they got.
What does it say, though, in the game against Georgia? You haven't been a very good running team. And the first time you get the ball, you run it three times. And usually, I guess you coordinate or script your plays. I don't know if it has anything to do with down and distance as to what you actually run. But you run it three times and punt the first position on a team that hadn't been – are you trying to prove to Georgia you can run? What are you doing there when you do that, Coach?
You may be testing yourselves. Or making a statement to your own players. I don't know. I know the running game takes a certain amount. The people that are, and I have been part of this thinking by and large. Now, there was a time I was at Jacksonville. I was around, we would go to 60 or 70% passing if it took that to beat you too, okay? I'm not, don't be thinking wishbone here, but you know, I think when you know how to be successful running the ball, you realize that you have to establish a mindset to really get good at it. And best time to do that is at the beginning of a ball game. But it's not good if you're not going to pick up a first down. I really think the thing that is missing with them, with the people they've got, having a version a better version of themselves running the ball is to play design the quarterback runs. And yet I know that if he's hurt, and I've heard, and I suspect he very well is, you didn't have that option. But if you don't create some 12-man threats where the quarterback is a designed runner, you can get nothing but pass rush and disguise coverage, which, you know, it was just blatantly obvious when Texas played Ohio State. They were just playing a game with the mind of the quarterback because there was no threat, you know. So, you know, people that are playing like that, you know, if you look at Ole Miss, you don't line up and not get ready to play the quarterback's run now every down. And some of it's by design, and some of it's otherwise. So you know, there's a lot of ways that you can approach this, something new, more quarterback design. I don't think you're going to change the mentality. Now, if you were to end up with your tight end and fullback, I don't know what they've said, Barry, about their availability. You know, they've proven that they've got an idea of what the right mix is, but – that tight end and what he did was, you can't replace him. I mean, he's same way Georgia gets with their tight ends. When you got tight ends running around those linebackers, they're not running downhill, and those safeties aren't running downhill at the running game. When you got a tight end, they can bust you open.
I've got to ask you this before Dad gets back in.
No, that's okay. Go ahead.
What is it about you football coaches? And I don't know if you were this way or not, but I see it in the NFL. I see it in college. In basketball, if my point guard's not playing well, I'm going to take him out for a little bit. He's going to go back in. I'm going to take him out. My pitcher's not throwing well. I see it early. He don't have his stuff. I'm going to take him out. Lineman's not blocking well. I'm going to take him out. Why will these guys not take the quarterback out? Take him out for a series or two series. If you've got a legitimate guy, I think Alabama's got two guys over there, and let them just go out there for two series and just see. I mean, it was obvious Ty did not have it against Georgia, but it seems like the people act like, oh, no, you can't take the quarterback out. You're playing with his confidence. He got you there. You can't change the quarterback. Steve Spurrier didn't think like that. He'd take him out in a second. But why are football coaches so reluctant to take the quarterback out?
Well, it's a trust factor of mainly. I mean, if you really felt like that you weren't going to create more risk, you know, if you totally trust the guy, not to bring it back to me, but 2008, I started putting the second string quarterback in on the third series every game. Now, did he ever go back in? No, but I tell you what, he was already in the game. And you do that enough, you got him ready. And people, my own coaches, wow, we're just breaking the rhythm. No, we're not. We're ensuring we're going to have consistent quarterback play.
Yeah.
Because I was not afraid to put that other guy back in. He knew it. Starter knew it. The fans knew it. Nobody ever liked it. But it also made sure I got the second, because it was just a commitment to create some stability. And when you're so much on his decision and skill set, that's when I started doing it, when we started throwing the ball more. I mean, he'd take one fall and get his head bumped. Where are you if that happens? You know, what if he hits the ground and pops his head and, you know, either has a concussion or you got to take him out? I mean, what does that do to the whole football team? Well, it's threatening to me. I didn't want to lose that control. So it's the way I handled it. Now, I can tell you that they'd be a lot better if they, you know, if they had more, less total dependence on the skill and thinking of one person on so much of what it takes. You know, that, I mean, look at half quarterbacks in the NFL have missed time, maybe more than that. And some of them are completely out. And when they do, their teams falter. Now, you got a couple of teams that you know who their backups are because they start showing up during the process of a season. Not particularly by design, but, you know, if you're going to throw the ball and everything be dependent on this guy and you got everything on one guy and you don't do anything to manage the risk of him not being there or being efficient, that's not good management. It wasn't for me. I mean, I want command and control standing on that sideline personally. So, Barry, I agree with you. There's no reason you don't, okay?
Yeah. That?
Auburn has fired their coach because of offense. New guy coming in is supposed to be very good. I think you're better off keeping your mouth shut about who runs the plays. I think you just I don't think publicly you need to talk about who's going to run the plays. They talked about three of them calling the plays when the former player was there. Is this going to be a revolutionary change in offense at Auburn?
I think you're going to see something. I've watched them play, so I have an idea just by watching the game on television of what's going on. Okay,
playing the wrong quarterback.
And I'm talking about at South Florida. At South Florida, I think this guy is going to bring it back to where it needs to be. Even though he may be highly involved in the offensive thinking, he does not appear to be directly trying to maneuver play calling. Now, what the heck happened? It happened under Gus too. Is the play calling was always subject to be at the whim of the head coach to be distorted, which caused all this uncertainty. And they had three people's hands in this. One of them trained the quarterback. Running back coach was calling the plays, and the head coach was a offensive guru. And half the time in his career, he had a card, play calling card in his face. That was wrought with stuff that I don't see line up very well. Listen, I called the plays through a season at Arkansas where we set every offensive rule when I was offensive coordinator. When I became the head coach, I didn't call a play. But I can tell you what, I had them programmed, and if I wanted to affect it, but any head coach that is sticking his nose in something that requires him to know more detail than he can have in his day if he's really taking care of that team and those players, I don't think it's humanly possible now to do it. I don't think Coach Berger could do it today. I think it's just the operation and the relationship, where those kids' minds are, what you got to do to manage all the aspects of their lives, unless you hand that off to somebody. But that is wrought with problems too. They came to play. If you're going to be the head coach, every one of those guys has got to understand your emotion and your mindset every single day.
All right. You're Kalen DeBoer, coach. This is just your opinion. Phone rings this morning. It's your agent. He says, coach, you know, it's Coach Michigan's call. They got a lot of NIL money. Got 11 billionaires live in the state of Michigan alone. They want to know, are you interested in the job? What do you want me to tell them? If you're Kalen DeBoer, what does Kalen DeBoer do if Michigan calls his agent? I know he's not going to talk to him directly right now with game next Friday. Should Alabama fans be worried that this could be a real job this guy could actually take? Michigan's Michigan. But in the NIL world, it may be a better job in Alabama. They wanted a quarterback. There was no – they said, what was it going to take? What does Kalen DeBoer do if they call his agent?
I don't know him that well. In fact, I don't know him personally any. I study him just because that's who I am and what I have my attention on, like everybody else in the state of Alabama. I don't think he's made that way. I think his answer would be, I came here to do a job and I'm not finished doing this job.
Okay.
That's
Now Vegas has Vegas has him the second highest odds to be the new coach. Now I don't know if that means anything, but Vegas usually they're sniffing around. They have a pretty decent idea. Does that mean anything?
There'll only be one reason, and this is what we'll never know. If his authority to do his job that he expected when he took the job, and all of that flows through the athletic director, every bit of that.
Sure.
If any of that is inconsistent with what his expectations were.
Good point.
When he needs to have command and assumed authority over things that he doesn't have direct authority over. You know what I'm talking about. If there's anything that has interrupted him in that sovereignty of command, all right, use some military words. If there's anything that's interrupted there, then I can tell you that sticks to a coach. Who knows? Who knows? But if that is there, who would know it? I'm sure it'd be out there somewhere. Then there's a crack in the door to be opened, I'd say.
Yeah. You know, you bring a good point. And I would say Shane Beamer, there's a point to this. Shane Beamer's probably got to have a good year next year. If he goes one and whatever, he may lose his job. The athletic director there from TCU, he is allowing Shane Beamer, which tells me he's going to give him every chance possible to be successful, to hire Kendall Briles. Well, Kendall Briles ain't going over there for a one-year contract. And so he's probably going for a three-year contract. And that AD, knowing that Beamer's on thin ice, but he's still going to give him whatever he needs to be successful. If they have to pay Kendall Briles 3 years, so be it, if it doesn't work. That, to me, tells me the AD's giving you everything you had to be successful, and it's on you. When they say, hey, you can't go hire some guy with a three-year contract, you're on thin ice yourself. That says to me they're backing Shane Beamer, and they're going to give him every chance to do what he's supposed to do. I think that probably goes on here. Does Greg Byrne need to do something with Coach DeBoer's contract, or just leave it alone to make sure he's?
I don't think it's about money. I'll say
not money, but just security and saying, "Hey, we're happy with what you've done."
I think security is not the word either. I think it's authority because that guy is a competitor. The only thing that would be, he came there and he's not through. He's a hell of a competitor.
Yeah,
number one, I think the biggest mistake Alabama could ever make is not sticking with this guy long enough for him to get there.
Yeah,
because he's one of the, you know, he's one of the few that I've seen and I've noticed. But if they didn't give him the same contract they gave Nick, now I'm telling you, they didn't. Al Moore gave Nick, you know, almost dictatorial power over all the elements that he dealt with. I know that was not redoable. It just was. I mean, the way it came about with Mal was somewhat. Oh, real. I mean, they. You know, it was an unusual negotiating situation. Time. He does not have that. Does he have enough in his own mind? And does he have exactly what he expected to have? Because a lot of those things that are written in a contract have no practice to support what they really are. You don't know till you get there till you need to have something done, and it needs to take a phone call, okay, and it's done. And if it takes more than that, or you don't get out of what you require the way that you need it, then you start – then you start thinking differently.
Yeah.
Who knows? But yeah. I don't think it's about money. I think it's about authority.
Not money, no.
It's about command. I mean, this is, you know, you send a general into war and you don't give him enough food to stay more than 3 days, okay?
Well, I will say it's not about money for him, but it is about money for buying players.
Now that you could say – And then you go down to how much is enough. because more is not necessarily better. I think eventually, I think I've seen a lot of people brag about how much money they've spent. I think this is the case at Auburn on that offensive line.
Yeah.
This is Nick.
Kentucky basketball right now. I got $20 million roster. If the pieces don't fit, they look bad.
Exactly. So I think, you know, we're getting to the point, how good evaluators, how do you know yourself? But also when you need something to change, when you need something executed, you know, are the people standing there ready? You know, there's no man is an island. He's sitting in that office. He is not an island. He has got a world of people rotating around him. They're either flowing at a fast pace, picking it up and doing it and having it ready and all those pieces, or they're not. Let's say this. They weren't all his people to begin with, probably. Over time, they were all Nick's people. And so how's that world working inside?
Was Nick Saban ever in Alabama? Was he ever told no?
He had to be at least one time. But
what would it have been? What would it have been?
I don't know. Listen, I had coaches. I had guys that played in coach for me that were in that, you know, on his staff. I heard stories. The stories I heard, he wasn't.
Yeah. I don't know what it would be. Well, Coach, as always, you knocked it out of the park. So we appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, Coach Jack Crow. Yeah, he's right. It's not about money for Cannon DeBoer, but can he go get whatever he needs if he thinks he needs it? And let's tell him about Bryant Bank. They'll give you what you need. I know that.
Bryant Bank is an outstanding bank and one that can take your personal and business accounts and handle them for you, let you know how much you have on a consistent basis, and will help you manage those two accounts if you need to manage them. They'll do a good job with you personally and professionally. And so Bryant Bank is the place to go if you need to be sure that your money is safe. And then you can bank around the clock online. It's great. It's great for you. Help to you. So go by Bryant Bank and tell me you're on the inside of the locker room.
You're with Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. Vinegar Tip is next. We'll get to Tony, and then we'll make the seat. We got the seat warm for Gary Harris. We'll let him take it from here. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. Hour number 3 for this collision on Lurling Wallace southbound in between Stillman and Paul Bryant Drive. Now you definitely have a gridlock on Lurling Wallace, taking you back to 7th Street and Stillman Boulevard, as well as Paul Bryant, also very tight in the area as well.
Tuscaloosa Tractor, Castaway Fish Co., Crimson Pride Hunting and Fishing, Precision Armory, Junction Grocery, Urbans, Military Surplus R Us, and Adams Heating and Cooling.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
Mostly sunny and colder today, the high at 49. Mostly fair tonight, the low 34. Tomorrow, partly to mostly sunny and warmer, the high 60. And for Saturday, we stay dry, a mixture of clouds and sunshine, the high 57. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 39 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Where the season never ends. This is your home of Alabama sports. Tide 100.9. And streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
I feel good. I knew if I wouldn't. I feel good.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker. Tony Ho, we'll get to you in just 1 second, though. This vinegar tip brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. What we got this morning?
Well, there's a chart that shows that apple cider vinegar, drinking a little, some of it supports weight management. it may curb your appetite and makes you feel a little bit fuller for a longer period of time, especially at night. And one small study found that people with excessive weight who drank apple cider vinegar for some period reported being less hungry and lost more weight than people who consumed it. So in this study, both groups were also following the restricted calorie diet. So don't get that wrong. Both groups were also following the calorie diet's restrictions on weight, but only one group consumed apple cider vinegar, and that group lost the most. So if you're trying to support weight management, then try using apple cider vinegar.
All right, that's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance. Give Michael and his staff a call, 205-752-8500. All right, to the Yellowwood Hotline. What's up, Tony?
Good morning, guys. Barry, when you were talking about the board of Michigan and you were talking about the billionaires they have in the state of Michigan, I'll push back on that to say not all of those billionaires are going to give to Michigan.
Sure.
My assumption is that.
Sure.
Number two, where have they ranked in recruiting since NIL has come about? Are they top five, top 10? Because right now I think they're 12 with this last signing class. What I'm trying to say is I don't think there's a lot of advantages. I think it's a less lateral move, actually, if he were to do that. And I know that Vegas or whoever has him second, but we got to remember a lot of betting services had Nick Saban going to LSU. So I don't know if it's a money grab on their end or what they're trying to do, but I'm not saying he wouldn't listen to them. I'm not saying that, but I don't think he would. I personally don't think he would leave. I don't see the advantages of leaving as it sits.
Well, there's obviously all the billionaires in the state of Michigan aren't Michigan fans, but I'm just saying there's a lot more. I mean, they wanted to get Bryce Underwood, money was no factor. When they hired Dusty May, they bought the best roster, and they evaluated correctly too. They are so good in basketball, and the players they got. So money, if they want to use it, I would say they have more money if they want to go buy players. I'm not saying it is a better job. I'm not even saying he'd be interested. It's a pretty big brand now. Biggest stadium in the country. A lot of money there. He may not, but they got him up there for some reason. And I think what Jack Crow said, that am I getting everything I was promised? Not for himself, but just in order to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I think he probably is. I wouldn't think Greg Byrne, he ain't going to penny pinch the football program here. And so I think they probably are getting what they need, and it may not even be a point, but I think you got to bring it up if he's one of the odds-on favorites to land the job, is at least worth talking to see.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this, Barry. When he holds a press conference next week, as a coach that you are currently, and Coach Sanderson, do you bring it up unless you're asked? Do you want to nip this in the bud, or do you – expect to be asked about this, and how do you handle it?
With
the media. The media brings next week.
Yeah, with the media. Yeah. If someone asks you, yeah.
What does he say?
Well, right now, if it's now, you don't. You just say, I'm involved in this 12-team playoff, and that's all my thoughts are.
Yeah.
All right.
You don't say no. You don't say yes. You just say, my whole focus is on – unless you just know you're not going, then you say that. I think his answer would tell you a lot if he says
it would.
Yep. You know. So.
And Coach Sanderson, I don't know if you've been around Coach DeBoer a lot. Do you think that he commands the respect? In other words, what I'm saying is, if he walks in a room in a coach's meeting, and the coaches are all chit chatting back and forth. When he walks in that room, do you think all those assistant coaches stops talking immediately and eyes go up to him? Do you think he demands that kind of respect from them? Do they fear him like they probably should? as a head coach figure, like I know they did with Coach Saban and Coach Bryant, Coach Stallings?
I don't think I would use the word they fear him. Yeah, I think when the Alabama head coach walks in the room, that people listen and look and have some, you know, have some feeling for the guy that walks in there. As far as fearing him, I don't think they fear him, but I do think they're.
Well, I used to call it a respectful fear. I'm sorry, I should have said that, but.
But there's a difference when Nick Saban walks in the room and when he walks in the room. I think he's not as – I don't know this, but just judging. Like, he's not one that's going to fly off the handle at his assistants. It doesn't look like to me. Where Nick Saban might light you up, you might think you're doing a great job. And all of a sudden, he might light – so he has you always on edge. I don't think Kalen Bourne has – these assistants on, and I'm not saying anything wrong with it. I'm just saying I don't think he has these guys on edge like Nick Saban did.
All right, well, let me ask y'all this. Do you think it would be easier for Kalen DeBoer to hire top-notch assistants as it was, or would it be as easy for him to hire them as it was Nick Saban early on? Because Nick Saban even admitted he could not hire the assistants he wanted toward the last 2 or 3 years of his run. If you replace the coach in the same timeline, do you think assistant coaches find him easier to work for?
Yes.
I do, personally.
Yes.
Yeah, I do, too.
Yes. I mean, yeah. Coach Saban, well, probably, I mean, you know if you work for him, you're going to win. You're probably going to be able to get a head job if you do what you're supposed to. So you put up with all the other things. But probably the working environment, the long hours, your wife saying, when you coming home, little Johnny's got a baseball game today, you coming. And you don't know whether you are. Now with Kalen DeBoer and with Dabo, well, those guys tell you to go. It's probably harder than we realize. To be honest with you. So
well, before I go, guys, and y'all are talking like if he left, who would you go get? I know Phillip is not going to agree with this because of his age. I call Kurt Cicognetti, and he's going to turn me down. I don't care if he's got 8 or 9 years left. He's 64 now. You give him 10 years, it'd be 74. Guys, he's a proven winner. He wins, and he plays a physical brand of football. His defense ain't bad. His offense, they can run the daggum ball. And so that's who I would call first and make him turn me down. Now, I don't think Kalen DeBoer is going anywhere, and I think we've got one of the top 3 or 4 head coaches in the country, personally.
Yeah.
I was never concerned about his coaching. I was concerned, would he be a good fit in the Southeastern Conference? Because, guys, there ain't been a lot of people come from that side of the country who's been overly successful in the SEC.
Yeah.
Hopefully he will be.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Tom.
Have a good one.
All right, that's it for today's show. Brian Hart Construction. They handle the blue plate special. You need precision power performance. Brian Hart Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24 same crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. 205-759-1337. Sorry, we went a little extra there. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. You listen to Tide 100.9. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great day, everybody.